Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about rock and roll music from such sources as the News and Observer, The Independent, New York Times, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. This opening is brought to us by a group called The Sea and Cake. This particular number is entitled Windowsills. We'll be hearing more about and from The Sea and Cake later on in today's program. But first, these trivia questions. The other side, it just depends. What figures, why? To hold him up, just charming. Some better life to the motion on a goodbye. Our trivia questions are brought to us once again by www.triviaplane.com. First question, what veteran British rock star explained, I smash guitars because I like them? And second question, what Alanis Morissette debut album sold over 10 million copies? What was the name of Alanis Morissette's debut album that sold over 10 million copies? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given at the end of today's program. The transition section of today's program is brought to us by BGORecords.com, today in rock history. And today is May 15th and May 16th. What were the number one hits on May 15th back in history? Well, back in 1959, it was Elvis Presley, A Fool Such As I. And back in 1971, it was Dawn, Knock Three Times. And on May 15th, 1976, it was the Rolling Stones, Black and Blue. And back in 1982, on this day, it was Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney, Ebony and Ivory. Number one hit on May 15th, 1993 was Janet Jackson's That's the Way Love Goes. If you're born on May 15th, you share a birthday with Eddie Arnold. He was born on that day in 1918, Make the World Go Away. And back in 1944, on May 15th, it was Graham Gobel, Little River Band. From Roxy Music, Brian Eno, born on that day in 1948. From Toto, Dennis Fredrickson, born on May 15th, 1951. 1953, May 15th, Mike Oldfield, Tubular Bells. And finally, Trini Lopez, 1957, May 15th, If I Had a Hammer. Miscellany on rock history on May 15th, we have 1965, The Byrds debut on U.S. chart with Mr. Tambourine Man, their first number one. Back in 1970 today, it was Pink Floyd performed 2.5-hour set at Crystal Palace, complete with fireworks and 50-foot inflatable octopus. The concert is so loud that the fish die in the lake. Back in 1970, that same year, back on this same day, May 15th, Radio North Sea International was bombed by commando frogmen hired by a director of a rival station, Radio Veronica. And back in 1973, on May 15th, it was the Pointer Sisters making their live debut. Back on May 16th, the number one hits were Connie Francis, Who's Sorry Now, back in 1958. And today, back on 1964, Mary Wells, My Guy. Back on 1970, it was Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Deja Vu, the May 16th number one hit. And Kim Carnes in 1981, Betty Davis Eyes. Back in 1987, it was U2, With or Without You, number one hit on May 16th. If you were born on May 16th, you share a birthday with Liberace, the entertainer, the piano player, born on that day in 1919. In 1938, Purvis Jackson from the Spinners was born on May 16th. And you share a birthday with William Spooner of the Grateful Dead. He was born on May 16th, 1949. And finally, Janet Jackson was born on May 16th, 1966. Deaths on May 16th include 1990, Sammy Davis Jr. Miscellany in rock history on May 16th, 1958, DJ Alan Freed re-signs at WINS. In 1960, on May 16th, it was Billboard reporting that Berry Gordy is forming his own record label to become Tomla Motown. 1969, May 16th, Pete Townshend spends a night in jail for assault when he mistakenly kicks a policeman off stage at Fillmore East, thinking he is a fan. In 1980, on May 16th, Dr. George Nikolopoulos is indicted on 14 counts of overprescribing drugs to Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, and nine others. And finally, 1998, on May 16th, the Rolling Stones are forced to cancel a few dates on the European leg of their Bridges to Babylon tour. Keith Richards has fallen off a chair while reaching for a book in his Connecticut home and injured his chest and ribs. This next article from HipHopMusic.com, posted on December 1, 2009. Nerds across the world are rejoicing at the news that Devo is together again, recording their first new album in 20 years. Let's see if we can report this without making some kind of joke about whipping it again. The group has been steadily touring but hasn't made a new album since 1990's Smooth Noodle Maps. Don't ask me, that's the name. So this new release is a big event. Leader Mark Mothersbaugh says he feels inspired for the first time in a while, perhaps by the political changes that came about recently. Most people don't know their big hit song, Whip It, was actually a tribute to Jimmy Carter, rooting for him to step up and whip things into shape. This is actually true, not joking. I'm just going to hope this doesn't jinx Obama into becoming another one-term president. The band, who formed in Ohio in 1973, will release their new effort in autumn next year. D-Evolution has finally arrived, and who better to guide us through the mess than Devo, a message said on their website. In local rock news, we see this article by David Menconi, published in NewsObserver.com on April 23, 2010. Sunblock and Songs, a new venue could shake up the five music scene. Good thing you have our outdoor music guide. The Triangle's large outdoor live music venues may not make up a separate ecosystem, but they've always had enough of a pecking order to keep out of each other's way. Raleigh's 20,000-capacity Time Warner Cable Music Pavilion at Walnut Creek remains the big dog, host to each year's largest tours. Cary's 7,000-capacity Booth Amphitheater and the 2,700-capacity North Carolina Museum of Art handle acts further down the ladder. This year, however, three is becoming four, and competition is heating up. Opening this summer is a still-to-be-named 5,000-capacity amphitheater in downtown Raleigh, where Live Nation, the concert behemoth that also operates Walnut Creek, will book 15 to 20 shows a year. That puts it in direct competition with Booth, which is booked by Nashville-based Outback Concerts. So far, Booth is holding its own with a 2010 lineup that includes My Morning Jacket, John Prine, and Sheryl Crow. The Raleigh Amphitheater has just a handful of shows confirmed so far, but lots more are in the works. Raleigh's new facility has already wrought one change this year involving Raleigh Downtown Live. That free concert series is evolving from its former day-long Saturday incarnation to midweek evening shows with local and regional acts, because Live Nation would rather you buy tickets for Saturday shows at the new joint, then go see something for free at Moore Square. Specific details on that are still to come. As for Walnut Creek, the schedule for the venue's 20th season has a familiar look. Widespread Panic will open things with two shows this weekend. There's a ton of country coming. John Mayer, Jack Jackson, Johnson, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and Tom Petty are among the returning regulars, and Sarah McLachlan's revived Lilith Fair is back for the first time since the late 1990s. If the Allman Brothers, the only act to play Walnut Creek every year since it opened, don't turn up at some point, it will probably upset the time-space continuum enough to trigger various end-time scenarios. The NC Museum of Art has a solid schedule featuring folk legend Joan Baez, the Oscar-winning Swell Season, and venue favorites Los Lobos, Tiff Merritt, and Dan Zanes. Duke Garden has a terrific lineup of top-shelf local acts for its series. The American Tobacco Complex's WNC-sponsored Music on the Lawn series plays at the Triangle's Twangy Side with Mike Cross, Chatham County Line, and Thad Cockrell. And this weekend, Spring Shakora Hills Grassroots Festival in Chatham County has 50-plus acts from all over, including Bella Fleck, Donna the Buffalo, and Abigail Washburn, plus local favorites, Bower Birds, Influential, and The Beast. Just don't forget the sunblock. Some of the dates at these venues, by the way, include July 1st, Fish. July 17th, John Mayer playing with Train. On August 4th, Lilith Fair. On the 21st of August, Jack Johnson. The Kings of Leon come on September 13th. And on the 18th of September is Tom Petty, along with Joe Cocker. All of those are at the Time Warner Cable Music Pavilion at Walnut Creek. At the Cocoa Booth Amphitheater at Regency Park, we have Styx, Foreigner, and Kansas playing on the 9th of June, Sheryl Crow along with Colby Calais on the 15th of August, on the 2nd of September, REO Speedwagon and Pat Benatar, on the 11th of September, Garrison Keillor's A Prairie Home Companion Summer Love Tour, and on the 22nd of September, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Tiff Merritt plays at the North Carolina Museum of Art on the 5th of June, Joan Baez on the 1st of August, and Los Lobos on the 7th of August. This next article is brought to us by Rhapsody.com, downloaded on the 11th of December, 2009. Description of rock pop. Just as a Supreme Court justice famously declared that he couldn't define pornography, but he knew it when he saw it, there's something silly about trying to describe rock. A basic beat, a little electricity, a hint of sexual abandon, and generous helpings of youth and rebellion have always been the essential ingredients, although fashion and circumstance tend to emphasize different parts of the recipe. And the youthful rebellion is getting harder to spot as wrinkled pioneers, the Rolling Stones and the Who, plod on. In rock's nascent days, pop artist was shorthand for commercially successful, mop-top musicians. As rock became more ambitious, pop came to denote anything short and sugar-coated, with bright melodies and infectious hooks. Who are the key pop artists, then? ABBA. The Swedish foursome's hooky pop is as popular in the new millennium as it was in the group's 1970s heyday. Also, AC/DC. There is only one AC/DC. They play rock and roll that's more punk than punk and more metal than metal. They rule. Avril Lavigne not only writes her own songs, she was the executive producer of her 2007 album, The Best Damn Thing. Bob Dylan, whether he's playing folk, country, rock, or blues, Bob Dylan always channels songs that are timeless. Dave Matthews Band, South African singer-guitarist Dave Matthews formed his funky pop rock outfit in Virginia in the early 1990s. David Bowie, a performer whose career flagrantly defies convention with such finesse that fans not only forgive him, they worship him. Elvis Presley, from his humble rockabilly beginning to his swaggering, sweaty Las Vegas persona, Elvis embodied all that was rock and roll. The Foo Fighter members have also played in The Germs, Sunny Day Real Estate, and, of course, Nirvana. Jack Johnson's warm, emotive voice and acoustic-based music also gets mistaken for Dave Matthews. Jimi Hendrix. Hendrix used feedback, heavy blues, and LSD to create enduring, influential rock that expanded the language of the guitar. Led Zeppelin? Zeppelin took the blues and injected it with Satanism, hominess, and light-speed guitars. The result became heavy metal. Madonna, one of pop's most successful artists. Madonna is admired for her music as much for her maverick personality. Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's domination of radio and television in the 1980s earned him the nickname King of Pop. Neil Young. Since the mid-1960s, Neil Young has staked out the ground where country, rock, and feedback meet, from Buffalo Springfield. Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam went from grunge, also rans, to one of the most popular stadium rock bands of the 1990s and beyond. Pink Floyd. The premier psychedelic band of the 70s, Pink Floyd, formed in 1965, incorporating jazz and insanity into their music. Prince, a suave Svengali and the savior of post-parliament funk, Prince has found love on the pop charts since the 1980s. Radiohead. Radiohead are one of the most revered bands of the 1990s and beyond, quite a change from their initial one-hit wonder tag. The Beatles. The Beatles gained enormous popularity with genius songwriting, beautiful harmonies, and non-stop experimentation. The Byrds. The Byrds applied ringing guitars to Dylan songs, explored the outer reaches of psychedelia, and kick-started country rock. The Rolling Stones. Forever the greatest rock band on the planet, the Stones have turned their bluesy brilliance into a way of life. U2. The evolution of U2's music is ongoing, and each record seems to bring a never-before-encountered style to their oeuvre. Van Halen. The premier American hard rock band of the late 70s and early 80s, Eddie Van Halen influenced a generation of guitarists. Others, who I'm not going to describe, but were also listed, include as pop and rock stars Britney Spears, Electric Light Orchestra, Santana, The Grateful Dead, Guns N' Roses, Van Morrison, Chuck Berry, The Clash, Norah Jones, John Mayer, Dave Matthews Band, Justin Timberlake, Elton John, Janis Joplin, White Stripes, Nirvana, Derek and the Dominoes, Talking Heads, Aerosmith, The Police, The Band, The Cars, The Doors, Tom Waits, Tori Amos, and Wilco. So, who is the featured artist today? The Sea and Cake. They opened today's program. They'll close it as well. Not for headbangers, alt-rockers, or any distant cousins. The Sea and Cake makes grown-up music, and like other streamlined, low-key indie rockers, think The Shins or Noah and the Whale, TS&C's music feels effortless, pure, and unfettered by modern distractions and trappings. The end result is a sly, engaging blend of sophisticated yet uncomplicated jazz structures and layers of breezy pop instrumentation. Sam Preko's breathy, casual voice veers from being oddly seductive to just plain pleasant, and it all feels as good as playing hooky at the beach. The sublime yet tightly controlled interplay between Prekop's and Archer Prewitt's guitars is quite grand, especially on the quietly rocking aerial, the faintly schizo New Schools, and the propulsive, energetic Car Alarm. But you almost don't notice. The band employ both humility and understatement, which is one reason they're so darn likable. They just do what they do, and it usually results in finely crafted music that is criminally underrated and underappreciated. It's not all guitar love either. Gurgling synths sprinkle a little magic into tracks like the playful CMS Sequence and Weekend, and twinkling steel drums and piano shine on mirrors. The last two tracks here are bonus tracks. Satisfied newbies should seek out two bands that sprouted TS&C, Shrimp Boat and The Cocktails. This review of Car Alarm, the album by Sea and the Cake, was by iTunes. Wikipedia adds this additional information about the Sea and Cake. They are an indie rock group with a pronounced jazz influence, which formed in the mid-1990s in Chicago out of the ashes of local bands, The Cocktails and Shrimp Boat. The group's name came from a willful reinterpretation, in the wake of an accidental miscomprehension, of the C in Cake, the letter C, a song by Gastre del Sol. Starting with 1997's The Fawn, the group has relied on electronic sound sources such as drum machines and synthesizers to color its music, but has retained its distinctive post-jazz combo style. The band has shied away from releasing singles, preferring the album format. Contrary to his multi-instrumentalist role in Tortoise, John McIntyre essentially plays only drums in the C and Cake. So let's listen to some snippets in from the C and Cake. We'll start off with New Schools. Now we'll hear a snippet from Down in the City.
There's no middle, no middle distance. It's complicated, got its own man. Starting over, not getting even. Just a whisper. Association to the backbone just between motivations got it over with affection on rehearsal. We had to stop short on no time. What seems complicated.
And now we'll listen to a snippet called Pages.
Get on the early train for while on the sun remains. The strands of the photograph of you and I won't air. With some look guarantee I am not alone. With not a lot to go on, demands that.
The C and Cake will also close out today's program with a tune called On a Letter. But first, these articles. These contemporary rock album reviews are brought to us by the Summer Movie Double 2010 issue of Entertainment Weekly. The first review is of Glee, the music, The Power of Madonna. We've learned not to doubt the Glee kids around here, but we'll admit we were worried when we found out that Madonna's lame 4 minutes was set for inclusion on this All Madge mini-album, due in stores on April 27. Our bad. Kurt and Mercedes rip it up. Elsewhere, Sue hilariously revises the spoken word bit on Vogue, and the Glee guys give a surprisingly tender reading of What It Feels Like for a Girl. Go ahead, open your heart. Mikhail Wood gives this an A and says, download these, Vogue, borderline, open your heart. This next review is by LG. And it's on Kate Nash, My Best Friend Is You. And she gives this a B+. And she says, download these, Do-Wah-Do, and I've Got a Secret. LG, of course, is Leah Greenblatt. Though Lily Allen, more beats-driven, and Amy Winehouse, more bonkers, have grabbed the largest market share in the British Lady Invasion, tart 22-year-old songstress Nash deserves her own spotlight. Best Friend builds on her more conventional 2008 debut, Made of Bricks, with a punchy, almost dizzying mix of garage rock bedlam, scene-skewering snap, and sweet girl group melodies. This next article was published in The Week, April 9, 2010. Courtney Love's Money Woes. Courtney Love is broke, says Alexis Perdidis. In the London Guardian, the 45-year-old rocker claims she only has about 12 grand to my name, but says by all rights she should have millions through her late husband Kurt Cobain's estate. She reels off the conspirators who hid Cobain's music profits from her, including the CIA, record label executives, the mafia, and people pretending to be relatives of the Nirvana frontman, who committed suicide in 1994. It was, she says, a bigger scandal than Enron. She admits many people aren't going to empathize with her financial plight, but says, well, F you. Why should anyone else have the money? You know what? It's my effing money. Love is thinking about re-laundering both her singing and acting careers, though her history of drug use has made Hollywood leery of her. For her acclaimed role in The People vs. Larry Flint, I had to get a non-refundable $2 million insurance policy and promised to stay clean during the filming. And I was true to my word, not a pill, not an antidepressant, not a Xanax. She admits, though, to being terrified of getting a big payday. Commercial success killed my husband. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with commercial success. Our final article today is brought to us by the NewsObserver.com, published on April 21, 2010, entitled, Authors Turn Rockers in D.C. for Haiti Benefit Tour. Washington, a semi-musical band made up of best-selling authors including Dave Barry, Amy Tan, and Mitch Albom, is touring East Coast cities to raise money for Haitian relief and other charities. The Rock Bottom Remainders tour begins Wednesday night with a concert at Washington's 930 Club and continues this week in Philadelphia, New York, and Boston. Tan says the qualifications for making the band were having no talent and no ego. She says she's a terrible singer and doesn't remember lyrics. She focuses on costumes instead. Barry says the band has been hailed as not as bad as you would expect. Funds for Haiti will be sent to the group World Vision. The Person Foundation also is donating 5 books to public schools in each city on the tour for each ticket sold. So how'd you do on the trivia questions? What veteran British rock star explained, I smash guitars because I like 'em? That was, of course, Pete Townsend. And what Alanis Morissette debut album sold over 10 million copies? That was Jagged Little Pill. Run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until...
Mind is just free, care to the living. All of one and I, so many miles to go. Don't mind me, I trip on what I see. What do you mean? It's all I've been to keep on, I to fight on to.
Next time.